Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're going to talk, the first segment, give a flu update, because it's been in the news and a lot's going on with the flu, and we want to give the listeners an update. And then the rest of the show, we're going to actually talk about anxiety disorders.
What about if I'm anxious about the flu?
We'll find out how to deal with it in the rest of the show. Yeah, and the flu does create some angst for people. Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's one of the questions that the CDC had, because they had a recent update, you know, is this epidemic? And they say, well, every flu season is an epidemic. You know, it's just how bad is the epidemic, and does it go into a pandemic? So, yes, we do have an epidemic on the flu, and we have one every year.
So, how bad is the flu this year?
This year, they have been trying to measure how bad the flu is for the last 13 years. And this is one of the worst ones yet.
In the last 13 years?
Last 13 years. There have been 2 years where it was pretty high. And so this is actually competing with number one. They don't know until the end of the flu season just kind of how to rate it. But it's definitely in the top three if it's not number one. Right now they say it's probably number two and could become the worst flu season in the last 13 years.
Wow.
So it's not something, you know, to take lightly. It is the type of flu that is one of the more serious kinds. People get a lot sicker with this one than with the normal flus. So, you know, it's something that everyone needs to be aware of, take precautions. Flu is can cause, eventually lead to deaths. There are quite a few deaths that are related to that. They have 20 confirmed cases of infants dying.
Oh my goodness!
From the flu this year so far, so it is when we first started out with the flu season, they had predicted it would be a moderate, you know, not a real severe one. They were wrong, and yes, we do have a really bad flu season this year.
Now, does this one have a name, or you know, they each?
Flu yeah, season? It's a H3N2, which is a type of Hong Kong flu.
Okay.
So that's the flu that's going around right now. And each of the years, the other 2 years that were really bad, that was the same type of flu. So it is a rather virulent one and something that, again, people need to be aware of. You know, you need to take precautions. You need to take care of yourself. You need to avoid people with
crowds.
A flu. I know the hospitals have stopped letting in people 18 or under from coming in because they are notorious carriers. So avoid little people. It is one good area, but trying to avoid the flu would be a great idea.
And how long do we have right now? It's January, middle of January, where the flu season's going to be over.
About 11 to 13 weeks left. Is what
left.
They said. Left.
Okay.
They also kind of watch it on a peak. This is about the time where it usually peaks, but it's still, you know, as according to last week, the numbers actually grew. So we haven't hit the peak of the season yet.
We haven't. We're in mid-January.
Right. This is about the time oftentimes, and it could be, you know, beginning of February is usually when the peak hits.
Okay.
So, you know, it's actually going around quite a bit, and it'll start tapering off. But we, at this point, according to the CDC, have not hit the peak of the flu season.
Great.
So I'm just full of all sorts of encouraging news.
Yes, you are.
That's why I said, hopefully I don't cause any anxiety for anyone.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the show will be on how to deal with our anxiety from the flu update. How effective has the flu vaccine been?
Well, again, one of the things that we started out, they were saying that it seems to be really effective. No. It's at this point, the number of how they rate the effectiveness is down to about 30%. Okay. So, you know, they still are encouraging people to get the flu vaccine. There are several different forms. The Hong Kong flu, the effectiveness is not real high. But the other different forms of flu, because there are actually several, that are going around, does seem to be effective. Just the really bad one, it's not.
Okay. Interesting. So they're saying it's 30% effective, the flu vaccine, right now.
At this point.
Okay. So who's most at risk for the flu?
Well, the flu is more risky for children 5 and under, pregnant women, and also older adults. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you're over 55, 65, you know, and going older, then that's more of a problem. Any type of person who's immune compromised, if you are on being treated for cancer, any immunosuppressive drugs, you really need to be careful at this time. So if you know that you have any type of lung conditions, the more medications you're taking, the more susceptible you are to the flu. One of the things that makes you, that a lot of people don't realize, if you're on cholesterol-lowering drugs, that's why people older are oftentimes more susceptible. They are anyway. But cholesterol-lowering drugs actually makes you more susceptible to the flu.
And why is that?
Well, one of the main things that we use for viral is monolaurin, which is a almost like, well, it's basically a cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And cholesterol makes the cell walls strong. So the more cholesterol you have in your cell wall, the less likely a virus can actually penetrate it and get in there and then replicate. Mm-hmm. So if you are on cholesterol-lowering drugs, have a lower cholesterol level, have a weaker cell membrane, then you're more likely for the flu to take off on you. So one of the products that we sell is monolaurin, which is very effective in helping to prevent the flu and actually treating it once you have it.
Interesting. So, yeah, let's talk about that, what you do here at the Prather practice and what can be done to reduce the risk of getting the flu.
Sure. Well, one of the main things on cutting down on the risk is being very healthy. Mm-hmm. The better your immune system is, the more resistant you are. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep your immune system up to par, that's a very, very important type of thing. There's a lot of ways to do that. Of course, eating right is a very important thing that has a direct effect on your immune system. Having too much sugar, not sleeping enough, getting stressed lowers your immune system. You know, not getting your vitamins and minerals as you should. All those things play a role. One of the things...
Lack of sunshine.
Lack of sunshine. Well, vitamin D levels is huge. You know, I mean, that's one of the things right now as we encourage people to get their vitamin D levels checked. Mm-hmm. And that has a huge effect on your, you know, whether you get flu or not. Matter of fact, one of the reasons that people get flu more often during this time, one of the theories is that people's vitamin D levels drop.
Interesting.
And if you can keep the vitamin D levels up, then your resistance to the flu goes up. Mm-hmm. But there's quite a few different aspects of your health that plays a role on that. If you have been on antibiotics recently, it takes a 10-day cycle of antibiotics. It takes 3 months for your immune system to recover.
Three months.
So if you have been on a round of antibiotics, your immune system will be compromised. And now, of course, if you get, you know, pneumonia and secondary bacterial infection, you have to be on some antibiotics. But if you have been on a round of antibiotics, then you're more susceptible to getting the flu. If you are on, actually, almost all pharmaceuticals lowers your immune resistance. I don't know of any pharmaceutical that you could be taking that actually increases immune resistance. They all lower it. So if you are on pharmaceuticals, if you are on steroids, you know, asthma patients, one, are already susceptible to getting secondary lung infections. But also if you're taking some inhalers, steroids, things like that, that weakens your immune system. So your chances of getting the flu are much, much greater at that point. So, you know, all those things needs to be in taken in consideration, and you need to evaluate your risk, and then avoiding people who are sick, avoiding crowds might be a real good idea. And then also, you know, doing the things that you need to do to make sure that you your immune system isn't compromised. I wouldn't recommend just taking vitamin D without getting a blood test first, see what your levels are.
And we do that here at the Prather Practice, a very extensive blood work.
Mm-hmm. And then also just getting a nice CBC done, see what your immune levels are, see if they are compromised. The best people to have that done is a structure function doctor, you know, because they look at it differently than a regular MD. They're looking for disease. We're looking for homeostasis. So oftentimes I see things that are on the blood work that is not recognized by the normal family physician, you know, saying, well, you know, you've got a compromised immune system. That's the reason that you're fatigued. And people said, well, you know, why didn't, you know, you're going off of their blood work, why didn't they tell me that? I said, well, that's not what they're looking for. So we look at things in a much different type of light, understand that, and then try to get people on things to get their immune system.
Yeah, let's talk about that, the different things that are helpful. You know, here at the Prather Practice, do homeopathic.
Oh, yeah.
Medicine, herbal.
Well, one of the things is that there's a set homeopathic formula that was developed during the Spanish flu of 1918. Regular hospitals had a 90% death rate, and the homeopathic hospitals had a 10% death rate. And one of the main things that they used was that they had come up with a homeopathic formula. We have something called Flubigon, which really, really helps out with the symptom. So that is, homeopathics can be extremely helpful. What it does is it just lowers the symptoms, the fever, the aches, the chills, and then also boosts the immune system. So homeopathics can be...
That's a lot it does. Yeah.
So, you know, we have people who are coming in or somebody stops in to, you know, pick up some of those things for people who have the flu, and people notice a difference right away, which is helpful. You know, to know that you can have those things. There's also quite a few herbals that are known to be helpful. The most famous one is Lomatium dissecutum. It is one that that was discovered during the 1918s because the Native American Indians have really very little immunity to flu because it was basically a Eurasian disease. And even today, they are much more susceptible to the flu.
Even today.
So one of the things is they had herbal formulas that they had put together that were actually quite effective. And then during the 1918 flu, that was introduced in with quite a bit of success. So that's another way of fighting the flu. Matter of fact, even like the Tamiflu and the antivirals that they use, now they are only effective if you start those within the first couple of days.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
You know, of the flu, you have to start them right away. So if you are susceptible, but that actually came from a fruit, quince. They found a ingredient in there. So even most of the pharmaceuticals we have come from plants, from herbals. And then they've been able to isolate them and then put them in a pharmaceutical, which is great. But, you know, people shouldn't poo-poo natural remedies because all of our pharmaceuticals come from natural remedies. I mean, you know, it's not really a differentiation on that. So,
right.
But there are some really, really good herbals that can help with that. And then, of course, if you are susceptible, you have some of the risk factors, starting on an antiviral immediately would be one of the more important types of things to do.
But the sooner the better.
Sooner the better on all those types of things. And if it's, you know, if you've kind of missed the initial, some of the natural remedies, the homeopathy, the herbals, can really make a big difference on that. Those do actually make a difference even later on.
Great. Well, thank you for that flu update. When we come back, we're going to talk about anxiety disorders.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, you talk a lot about structure function care and disease care. What is the difference between the two?
When you're talking about disease care, you're usually talking about an interference in the body's normal mechanisms. There is a time for that. When the body is actually in a process of free fall, is a good way to kind of put it, where the body is no longer making sense of what it's doing. And we're on a pattern that it will actually crash. Then you need some interference. And the best way to actually do that is through pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are classified as poisons. They actually take the body further away from homeostasis, which I'll define here in a second. Mm-hmm. But at those times, that is actually necessary. So when the body is in a crisis and is no longer able to heal itself, that's when disease care is actually critical. That's where you actually utilize the pharmaceuticals and the surgical methods. What we're usually involved with is in structure function. And as opposed to a disease care, it's health care. Everything that you use in a structure function standpoint is something to bring the body back into homeostasis, which is balance.
Okay.
Dr. Guyton talked about homeostasis as the definition of health. If the body can maintain homeostasis, where it's in a perfect balance with all the different types of things that are coming in that are interfering with its function, that is the perfect state of health, and that's based on a balance of the physiology functional and upon the structure portion of the structure function.
Well, you talk about the body as the hero. What do you mean by that?
Body has a self-healing mechanism to it that can just make all sorts of corrections if we can just get out of its way. The whole idea behind healthcare is to provide the impetus, the needs, and the basis of what it will take to actually get the body well. So finding out where it's off, doing the proper diagnostics, and then making the proper type of adjustments into the care will actually result in the healing and the position that the body should actually be in.
Well, find out how structure function care can impact your life. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, for the rest of the show, we're going to focus on anxiety disorder. And we had a call from one of our radio listeners that requested us to talk about anxiety panic attacks. And we really appreciate any feedback. If you're listening and there's a topic that you want us to talk about, you can call our office at 317-848-8048, or you can email me, Lisa, L-I-S-A, at thepratherpractice.com. And Dr. Prather, you can basically talk about anything. So I know that. I've been married to you for 26 years.
Yeah, you know I talk about anything and everything.
So let's talk about anxiety disorder. I don't think we've even done a show about this. So
okay.
Let's go ahead and define what is an anxiety disorder.
Well, an anxiety disorder, I mean, everyone has anxiety in life. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to be taking a test, you're going to be going out for a date with someone on the first time, mm-hmm. You're going to be walking down the aisle. I mean, that's pretty normal.
Were you anxious?
I actually was not anxious.
Good answer.
I was really ready. One of my best men were very anxious, and I stood up for quite a few weddings, and I had to catch the groom a couple of times. So there can be some anxiety in different types of life situations, and some of that anxiety is a normal type of response. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're talking about fight flight. Mm-hmm. Response where if a tiger's chasing you, you should have a little bit of anxiety, so you run a little faster.
Yeah.
So
we're talking about the sympathetic nervous system,
right? The sympathetic parasympathetic nervous system, fight flight type of thing, where the digestive system shuts down, the immune system actually shuts down during that time. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of blood flow through the body. The muscles get all primed, and so that you can either run like crazy or you can fight. Mm-hmm. And those are important types of a survival type of a reflex. So anxiety is something that is normal, natural. But when you have an anxiety that harms your life, where it interferes with normal functioning, mm-hmm. where it causes changes in behavior that are not good for you. Mm-hmm. would be a good definition, where it's actually a harmful type of thing, and it goes on for a period of time, 3 months or longer, then you're talking about what they would call an anxiety disorder. And
you said 3 months or longer.
They usually say, temporary, anxiety. They don't call it an anxiety disorder. It's just a temporary type of thing that could be happening. But if it continues, once it goes over 3 months and it's interfering and changing your life for the worse, mm-hmm. Then it's going to be classified as an anxiety disorder. There are 5 major different differentiations on anxiety disorders.
Okay.
So we'll talk about some of those. But that is something that is important. That is something that we treat quite a bit in our office. We have a lot of people with those issues. Mm-hmm. And it's something that people just don't want to, they want to get that solved.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about the different kinds of anxiety disorders. What is generalized anxiety disorder?
Well, generalized anxiety disorder is probably the most common of those. It's about 6.5 million Americans suffer from generalized anxiety disorder.
6.5 million.
6.5 million. It's women twice as likely as men. Hmm. And it's not a when they call it generalized because it's generalized. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a constant type of thing where you feel anxious. You're not really quite sure why. There's changes in blood pressure. Basically, what a generalized anxiety disorder is, you are stuck like a tiger's running after you.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, you don't know why. You're kind of looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. You don't know why your blood pressure's up. You don't know why your digestion isn't working, which can cause diarrhea or constipation. Mm-hmm. So you can get digestive. Your immune system weakens, so you catch infections. So somebody with a generalized anxiety disorder has to watch out for the flu this year.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. your immune system weakens. We also see endocrine changes. Because there's 2 different kinds of endocrine systems. There's what we call a rest and digest, which is the parasympathetic, where you stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you have the fight flight endocrine disorder. Where things are going on. And a good balance in your life is about 80% of the time you're in a rest and digest mode.
That's that parasympathetic.
Parasympathetic, mm-hmm. and then 20% in a sympathetic fight flight. Mm-hmm. That's a healthy mode. In other words, you go back and forth on that, but generally, you're more in a rest digest.
Mm-hmm. You're really good at that.
Yeah, I think people comment on that who work uh-huh. with me and stuff that, we can have a crisis here, things like that, and I'm just,
Calm.
Calm.
Yeah, you go right to your deep breathing.
Well, right.
Which you never stop doing.
Right, and I mean, that's one of the things that you can actually recognize is that people who are in an anxious state, their breathing changes.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's more shallow.
Yeah, if you're in a rest digest, you do diaphragmatic breathing. It goes deeper. If you're stuck in the fight-flight, you do upper respiratory breathing, quick breathing. Mm. And you start to get the telltale sign is the levator scapulas became rock hard.
Yeah, those are those upper neck muscles.
Upper neck muscles. Yeah. Matter of fact, I can sit there and poke on somebody's shoulders and tell you just how bad your anxiety level is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're in a balanced type of state, because it should be nice and loose.
Yeah.
You know how many people that I find that have generally nice, loose levator scapulas?
Not very many.
Mm-hmm. I always get all excited and tell my scribe that oh my goodness, you know, this person actually is relaxed. But as we work with them, you know, in adjustments, acupuncture, and nutrition, we see a big change on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way that you can control a lot of that is how you breathe. So
right.
You can, but there are ways to work on that. But I digress. But
no, that's okay because it's important.
It's important. So you know, it's a pretty easy thing to pick up on that. But you know, it's basically you have become 100% stuck and cannot get out of that fight flight. Mm-hmm. Response, and it will wear you out and eventually get cause death in a lot of different types of ways.
Wow, and just takes your joy away.
Oh, I mean, you know, yes, you can't, it's very difficult to enjoy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the relaxed state is where you're happy. There is the chemicals that flow through your body, the hormones that flow through your body are completely different. You have cortisol rushing through your body. You have the stress hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You inflame more. So
you mean you create more inflammation in your body?
Inflammation, yeah. The inflammatory mm-hmm. process is changed. The immune system is changed. If you stay in it long enough, it can actually develop into autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things like MS is very much a situation where people have been, almost everyone who has MS was caught in a generalized anxiety disorder.
Really?
And then eventually wears out the system and it starts to cause damage where the body starts to attack itself.
You're talking about multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis.
Wow.
So, you know, because there are emotional patterns along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is a serious condition and needs to be addressed and corrected, you know, brought mm-hmm. out of that.
So we just talked about generalized anxiety disorder. What is obsessive compulsive disorder?
Well, it's a little bit different. What you do is how you handle your stress is by doing routines.
Mm-hmm.
So that don't really make sense. In other words, if I wash my hands three times and tap my feet twice, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really true.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that a lot of people do, and they do that because then they can mentally calm themselves down.
Yeah.
But then if they don't follow those patterns, then it becomes a situation where they feel that they are no longer in control and that they are going to be attacked by something.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really make sense. If you talk to people about it, yeah, that doesn't make sense, but I still do it.
Right.
And it's a way of, so they found patterns in their life to control their anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But it's debilitating and can cause a lot of interference in people's lives. You know, it's a
continuous washing hands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a. I actually had a chiropractor in here that rubbing his head was sort of a certain way of kind of getting himself. So
in
he had some obsessive.
Patients.
Right. He had obsessive compulsive type of thing
mm-hmm.
as a way of relaxing himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've seen that quite a bit. There's a lot of different types of ways and definitely something that needs to be addressed, you know, to find different patterns of how to make that correction.
Okay, when we come back, more on anxiety disorders.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
My wife and I, we love watching like Dateline 2020, those shows. But you know how every week they will feature a disease? And I swear to you, every week, no matter what the disease is, my wife has it. There'll be three people on the planet that have this disease. My wife is one of them. She just watches it going, I've got it. I have every one of those symptoms. I'm like, you do not have testicular cancer. You don't even have testiculars.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, today we're talking about anxiety disorder. And Dr. Prather, we were just talking about obsessive compulsive disorder. So here at the Prather Practice, how do you help somebody with obsessive compulsive disorder, or we can call it OCD?
OCD, yeah. What we do is we have several different protocols along those lines. You have, of course, the treatments for general anxiety disorder is to get the body to switch over into a parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. So you train the body to breathe differently. We get the nervous system working better, which is chiropractic adjustments help out tremendously. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture helps, auricular. We have homeopathy, herbals, all those. Working with the hormones, because the hormones have been shut down. So if you can make the corrections in the body, you can actually get that changed. When you have OCD on top of it, because OCD is basically a pattern of dealing with generalized anxiety disorder that people have developed.
Okay.
So that complicates it, because you have to get the obsessive-compulsive component down, too. Mm-hmm. But we do have set homeopathics that have been proven to help out with obsessive-compulsive. We also have an acupuncture pattern that we do that helps out with obsessive-compulsive. And then we also have something called an auricular therapy, which is specifically for a pattern for OCD. And that's where we change the brain wave patterns.
Mm-hmm. That works on the brain.
Works directly on the brain. Yeah. So generalized anxiety, you know, and then, of course, we also have to treat the generalized anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. But then we also have to break the pattern of the obsessive compulsive. So we have those things along those lines to get it, but we also have to get the endocrine system working right. We have to get the nervous system working right. We have to get the muscles relaxed. One of the things that's really quite fascinating is, you know, we were talking about those tight levator scapulas. Mm-hmm. And people cannot function affect structure. So their anxiety created the tightness in the levators and the muscles in the body. But then structure also affects function.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult for people to be able to relax when their levators are really, really tight and holding strong. So we have to get those muscles relaxed. One of the things that they have found that's very, very interesting is the easiest way to diagnose a mental disorder is body position. Hmm. It's the most accurate way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like OCD, they assume a body position. In other words, there are tight muscles, there are certain types of changes that take place.
Mm-hmm.
Bipolar, schizophrenia, all those different types of mental disorders create a position.
Certain posture.
A posture in the body that is very easily diagnosable and very easily checked on. The easiest way to make changes in the mental condition is to change the body posture.
Mm. So how do you do that?
Well, matter of fact, have you ever heard of Rolfing?
Mm-hmm. Haven't had it done, but I heard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Ida Rolf was a psychologist, and she was one of the ones who wrote a big paper about that. And somebody had suggested to her, well, what if you just change the body posture?
Mm-hmm.
So she started a whole massage type of technique where they would get releases, and then that would change the mental condition. We do it a lot easier. We do the chiropractic, we do acupuncture, we do muscle release techniques, we do some injections into the muscles to get them to relax. But we are working on changing the body posture, and that makes an immediate...
Oh, the corrective exercises.
Corrective exercises, mm-hmm. All those different types of things that go into it. The different types of massages mm-hmm. that we do here. We have massages, a very important part of what we do, to get the muscles relaxed. But we can change the posture very quickly, and we get very excellent changes in the anxiety disorders by changing the postures.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Plus, we also work on the physiology. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working on the endocrine system, the hormones. We're working on the nervous system. We're getting liver detox, all those different types of things, getting the brain patterns changed. And as we can do that, we can get those different anxiety disorders under control and see a big difference in people.
Yeah, and I think of the herbals that we have.
We have a tremendous number.
Thyroid chi, is that an herbal?
That is an herbal formulation.
Yeah, and how does that help?
Well, the thyroid chi works on certain areas of the brain that help the, especially the red nucleus, to get the brain to settle. So we can see some excellent changes along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I mean, you know, there is some excellent medications along those lines. Mm-hmm. One of the things that people oftentimes don't realize is that you can do both at the same time. We also recommend counseling. You know, that's an important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Behavioral changes, those types of things. It takes a total type of package. One of the things, though, that is basically missing in most anxiety disorders treatment is the structure function part.
Mm.
And I encourage people who have anxiety disorders to go to a structure function doctor because they can change their structure, which, as I talked about, has a huge effect.
And you talked about the nervous system.
The nervous system affects that. You know, your basic postures, you get the muscles relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And the people with anxiety disorders leave here, they say, oh, you know, wow. You know, I love coming in here because, you know, all of a sudden my whole attitude on everything changes. So
you can see it.
It's very encouraging to have a treatment done, and you walk out of the doctor's office and you can feel an immediate difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's very encouraging.
Right, right. Now, let's talk about, we talked about generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder. What is panic disorder?
A panic disorder is where it becomes an overwhelming. So usually they have a generalized anxiety disorder,
mm-hmm.
but then at times they can get in situations where they basically become almost, well, I mean, people sometimes just faint away. Mm-hmm. Because their body just kind of shuts down. So when it's extreme anxiety disorder that hits at different times, sometimes they don't even know what the triggers are. Mm-hmm. But we've had patients with panic disorders, and we had one patient who came in just yesterday, mm-hmm. who had panic disorders, and referred in by her sister, and who had anxiety. Had acupuncture, she had generalized anxiety, didn't have panic disorders, had generalized anxiety, and she had just gotten so much relief.
From the acupuncture.
From the acupuncture. Mm-hmm. So she had come in for a trial acupuncture, but she also had panic disorders. So I was, you know, she said, I'm nervous, I hope I don't go into a panic attack. And so I said, well, you know, lay down, usually people do very well and we get a good relaxation. Mm-hmm. So later down, I was talking to her to everything, and I was putting in some acupuncture needles, and I could see some nice changes, as I was doing that. She started breathing, I could tell immediately the change in the breathing. Mm-hmm. She was starting to breathe in real well, and I was talking
without verbally telling her.
Right.
Acupuncture.
And I was, putting that in, putting the needles in, and I said, okay, how are you doing? She said, yeah, I'm good. You can go on ahead and start the needles. She was expecting, a lot of pain, things like that. And I said, oh, I've already got them in.
That's funny.
And then she sits there and she started a panic attack. Oh, my gosh. So I took the needles out right away. I said, what kind of kicked it? Well, she says, I felt like I couldn't move because the needles were in. Once she knew that they were in. She didn't even know that they were in, which was hilarious. She was expecting.
So you're just going to lay here the next half an hour.
Yeah, I shouldn't have told her that she had needles in. I think she would have done great. Uh-huh. So we've obviously got to work on that a little different way. So, and it's the movement type of thing. So we're going to switch her to laser.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice. We have
right. We have non-needle. A lot of different ways, mm-hmm. and for people who have panic disorders,
yeah.
you don't have So it's just a laser that we hit the different points. And she said that sounds much better. But I thought it was very, very funny how that worked.
Uh-huh. When we come back, let's talk more on anxiety disorders.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What do you mean by the statement, Dr. Prather, hormones the key to unlocking weight loss?
It's a very common type of thing that people come in and they say, I've been doing everything right to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I can do. The hormones and the nervous system are the two things that tell the body what to do. The hormones have a very big regulatory type of effect on our weight. If the hormones say, no, you're not going to lose weight, you're not going to lose weight. Oftentimes, when we do some thorough evaluation, we find some issues and get that fixed, and it's amazing what happens.
What is your protocol for weight loss?
We do consult. We need to do a thorough consultation. Mm-hmm. We need to have a thorough examination. We need to have thorough lab tests. Then we need to put that together with the lifestyle of the patient. One of the first things that you have to do is you have to get those hormones balanced. And sometimes you have to cheat a little bit.
What does that mean?
Well, we have to sometimes fool the body. The body is stubborn, and it has a set weight limit. And I would actually put it as a picture mm-hmm. of what you should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's off. Mm-hmm. So we can use the hormones to fool the body to make a shift. One of the things that we offer is HCG shots, human chorionic gonadotropin, and that is involved he works on the hypothalamus, to tell the body it's okay to burn fat and change the weight, what the fat percentage is. Mm-hmm. So instead of burning muscle, which you normally do when you go on a diet, which is why most diets don't work, because you become more fat because the fat percentage increases mm-hmm. as you lose weight.
It's wasting muscle.
It's wasting muscle. This will burn up the fat and change the percentage of fat so that there is a true hormonal change. We can fool the body to change its set point because it can be pretty stubborn. We also keep very close records on the changes that are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
We measure the fat percentage. We make sure mm-hmm. that people aren't just losing muscle. There are dietary, there are all sorts of strategies on diets, and we're very, very flexible in finding what diet works the very best. We make sure that they are healthy and able to follow it mm-hmm. and then incorporate a whole lifestyle and then make sure that it stays, because the last thing we want is yo-yo dieting.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking today about anxiety disorders. We had one of our radio listeners call the office and was interested in us doing a show on that, panic attacks and anxiety disorders. So we appreciate that. And if you're out, you've been a listener, you have a topic that you'd like Dr. Prather to speak on, just give us a call at 317-848-8048. You can let any of the staff that pick up the phone know, and they'll get that information to us. Or you can email me at Lisa, L-I-S-A, at thepratherpractice.com. So we definitely, if there's a topic that you're interested in and we haven't covered, we would love to do that. So we're talking, we had a flu update, our first segment. We are now talking about anxiety disorders. And Dr. Prather, let's talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. PTSD, we're hearing a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something if you've, you know, been in the military or been through war, it can be other things too.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder is it's some event that occurred mm-hmm. that has all of a sudden you can point to that as the time where, you know, your body was you were now in a stress disorder, mm-hmm. you know, anxiety disorder. And, of course, we think about that as people in the military.
Right.
We've had quite a few ex-military or military people who came in who had PTSD. We were working with them on improving their health. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit of work being done along those lines. Mm-hmm. There's an extremely high suicide rate mm-hmm. On PTSD. So, you know, we take that very seriously, and there are several different types of programs that are trying to find out, you know, how we can help people along those lines. But as you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the military.
Right.
It's a very common type of thing in the military because it is a very, you get very traumatic types of situations. But I think of one lady who was very capable, a realtor, mm-hmm. who comes into her office and was in a bad car accident. And, you know, we took care of her, got her physical symptoms all under control, so mm-hmm. she was all taken care of with that. But definitely we diagnosed her with PTSD afterwards because mm-hmm. it was traumatic. And different things that would kind of kick it off would kick off some panic disorders and some generalized anxiety that she had never had before. She was a little bit surprised about that. She says, you know, I thought I was a strong person. you know, but I said, you know, no, I mean, this is actually a physical condition that has occurred, and we need to, you know, get this taken care of. So we no longer were switching to the, you know, on the physical condition, on the things that were from the trauma of the accident, more of the trauma to the brain and the nervous system and the endocrine system. So we started her on some supplementation. She did have some lowered adrenal, which she didn't have before, function. Thyroid was even affected, so we rebuilt the endocrine system. We got her on some general vitamins, B vitamins, things like that, that we had tested blood work and found that they were low, so we supplemented that. And there was definitely a general, you know, anxiety. There's a pattern on what nutrients you need. Because when you're under anxiety, when you're in that fight, that continual fight flight, it wears out vitamins and minerals
in your body
that you normally. And then, interestingly enough, the lowered vitamins and minerals and the lowered endocrine system will continue the anxiety even if you don't have the stimulus that goes along with that. So we got those back up into par. The things that really helped her that turned that around was the acupuncture pattern that we did for anxiety, and then also the auricular. And when we started the treatments on that, she said, well, I'd have about two days afterwards where I, you know, would feel normal, and then it would start to creep back in. So we had a series of, I think we had about 20 treatments on that, of acupuncture and auricular along with the other. And now she's normal.
Very important to follow the treatment plan.
Right. She did no medications. Which she would prefer not to. But, you know, we really got that back up into par. And she was very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, she had a car accident, and people think structurally, but all that happened physiologically to her body.
I mean, definitely structurally, we had to make the corrections on the spine and the muscles, and got excellent results with that, you know, in a very quick amount of time. But then there was the lingering anxiety that had occurred. And so, you know, it was definitely a post-traumatic stress disorder from the car accident.
Well, what is social phobia?
Well, social phobia is can go from quite a few different types of areas. Everybody has, most people have a fear of getting up and speaking in front of people. But it can even be eating in front of people or going into large groups and meeting people, even one-on-one. But social phobia is where you have an anxiety that interferes with your ability to do your job, carry on social functions. So it's a an anxiety in a situation where you're interacting with others.
Could this be, I knew a young lady who felt like everybody was looking at her or talking about her.
Correct. That's a very common one. So anytime that she got into a larger group area, then they, she felt that she was the center of attention, which would definitely be a social phobia. So, again, when it becomes, I mean, everybody has a little bit of that, but when it starts interfering with, you know, activities of your life that you need to carry on, then that becomes something that needs to be treated.
Makes sense. How about stress?
Well,
that covers a lot.
Long-term types of stress is something that can actually lead to these. Now, there are a lot of stressors in people's lives. There are, you know, and stressors can also be positive or negative. So one of the things I was, I had someone who was actually starting to show up, generalized anxiety disorder. And I said, well, you know, have you had a lot of stressors in your life recently? She said, well, no. And I said, well, you know, what have you all done this year? Well, I moved. I got married. We bought a house.
All good things.
It was just one thing. And I said, and you don't have stress? And she said, well, those were all good things. And I said, well, changes in your life are stressors.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped her to realize that there was a lot going on, and the accumulation of those had actually caused her causing her problems.
Right.
So then we could address those.
Okay. Well, I can't believe time is up. We're going to do a part two series and talk about the treatments for anxiety disorder next week. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.